Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather Show. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer here in New York on a dark and rainy day. Sitting at my bright red desk after a lovely afternoon with friends and good food and lots of laughter. And I talk here every week on the radio show about what we're going to expect in the week ahead. And actually, this is going to be a really, really huge week. I know we've had a whole bunch of huge weeks, it seems like. And the sense you have is, I don't know that I can take any more. I have that myself. But when I was prepping the radio show and my column for this week, I just kept going, wow, 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 wow. So I imagine you're going to be going, wow, 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 yourself this week. So the idea is to be gentle, to be kind, to give yourself lots of space, lots of recovery time, because there's a lot of activity in the heavens. And so when we have a lot of activity above, we have a lot of activity here on Earth below, as above, so below, as without, so within, you know, Hermes Majestri's quote from way, way back. And our job with watching the heavens is to kind of get an idea of how that energy is going to manifest on Earth. And sometimes it's easy to say, you know. Sometimes you can say, well, you know, rain, sadness, oh, good week, you're going to feel great, you're going to feel really happy. Other times you can kind of look and go, you know, I don't actually know that I know what's going to happen, except it's going to be a lot of wows. So that's kind of this week. There's a lot of wows ahead, but I don't actually know that I can tell you what's going to happen. But I can tell you when it's going to happen, and I can tell you how you're going to feel when it happens. So that part's good. Now, what we do is we look at the charts and we try and interpret the energy, you know. And the premise of it is that there's the planets in the heavens and there's 12 houses and 12 signs. And between that combination, we can talk to you about virtually everything on Earth. The thing that happens, though, is a couple of times a year we have these things called eclipses. And what eclipses do is they kind of turn the lights out and they move the furniture, okay? And when they move the furniture, they say, okay, go ahead and walk now, and you walk right into the footstool or into the coffee table or the edge of the dresser. And you go, damn, that wasn't there a minute ago. And I would want you to try this tonight, okay? I want you to turn the lights out and try and walk your room in the dark. That's what eclipses do. They make it dark, and then they turn the lights back on again. And I know when I do that, you know, every now and then I'll turn the lights off at the desk, and I won't have lights on in the bedroom, so I have to walk through the apartment in the dark. I'm always walk little teeny tiny baby steps because I don't want to walk into the coffee table or a dead cat or step on a cat and kill it. You want to kind of do that energy this week, teeny tiny steps, okay, teeny tiny. Big reveals ahead. Lots of information going to be flying around. And we were talking today about how stories hit the news and then they're gone. Poof. And you, like, I think I saw that. Didn't I see that go by? And then if you Google it, of course, you find it. But you're not even sure that you saw it go by, right? So that's what this week ahead is like. And the reason is, there's a few reasons. So we'll talk about them. One is there's this overarching theme of breaking free of abusive power. And that is typified by the Uranus-Pluto square in the heavens. These two planets are arguing for 4 years. And when we have a sustained, long, drawn-out discussion between two planets, both of whom are pretty big and pretty powerful and pretty, you know, sure of their opinion about how the world should be, we kind of have it be almost like little battles, not the war, but the battles. So they're square to each other, which, as Mark Woltz always points out, squares are like arm wrestling, okay? So there are that Uranus and Pluto are arm wrestling this week. Now, this week, Pluto gets pinned, okay, because he's going retrograde, Uranus is going direct, and Pluto's going to be bent back a little, all right? And retrograde planets aren't as strong. They are reserving their strength. They are recoiling, and Uranus is going, bop, 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 and Pluto is going, okay, 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 I get it, I get it, I get it, right? Last time they met, which was last September, they squared, and in that time, Pluto was winning, and Uranus was losing. And the time they met before that, June 24th of last year, Pluto was losing and Uranus was winning. Okay, now we've watched the Uranus-Pluto evolve as the Egyptian, you know, we called it the Middle East, the spring of the Middle East, where everything went crazy over there. And we've watched it in numerous instances where Uranus, the planet that requests us to change, break down the structures and transform things, is arguing with Pluto, the powers that be. And so we get comments like, well, you know, we're too big to fail. It's like, no, you're not too big to fail. We can break you up into small pieces if we wanted to. That's what Uranus says to Pluto. Pluto goes, no, I'm like way too big. You can't do that to me. It's like, of course we can, you know. And so it's that argument between the two that's going on and on. You're not that big that we can't take you on, Uranus says to Pluto. That's the energy of this week. You're not that big that we can't take you on, especially if you're abusing your power. Pluto is retrograde. So Pluto's done something bad. He's getting sent to the doghouse, as much as we can send Pluto to the doghouse, of course. And, you know, he's abused his power. All right. Now, we did see this last couple weeks. You know, we saw there were a number of stories. You know, Bloomberg News had their release about, you know, snooping in the companies that they sell these machines, rent these machines to get inside information for their reporters. You know, because they can watch what trading activity goes on. Anybody with a computer monitor and access to the thing can watch it. And security clearance, of course. So the reporters had security clearance, kind of like the phone tapping thing in England, you know, where they were tapping into all the phones. Then we had the, you know, the reporters, the government, taking the AP reporters' phone logs legally. They went to the judge and they said, give me a subpoena, and they got the subpoena. We have bills in Congress saying we can come snoop on your computer and just come into your computer and read whatever's in there, which they can do if you've ever called tech support. They can just come in. Now, normally they say, give me permission, but really they don't need permission. As long as they can come into your computer, they can. You know, it's the fact that the path is there. Just have to have the key to open the door. Not that hard to get. Software is easily broken. I used to work in software when I was younger and a programmer. We had the IRS investigating the Tea Party people. We have the Benghazi thing jumping around. We have a lot of scandals or situations or problems or whatever you want to call it, where Pluto power has perhaps not been handled properly. Now, one of the quotes, of course, about power is absolute power corrupts absolutely. Now, I'm not saying absolute power, but I am saying there is a tendency when you got the power, you don't always want to give it up. It's not like one of those things people go here, take it. You know, it's like people fight for power. This week, Uranus wins the fight because he's direct, and the square takes place on Monday the 20th. Then later in the week, there's a third eclipse. Now, remember, we're still in eclipse season. We'll be in eclipse season until we get to June, when we get to the new moon 2 weeks from Friday. Okay, so we've still got another 3 weeks of eclipse season to go, full of reveals and information. And I know you're getting a little tired of all the stuff you're finding out that you really kind of wished you didn't know. But the Uranus-Pluto square, coming as it does between these two very powerful eclipses, the one last week and the one this week's eclipse wraps up the story of the nodes in Gemini and Sagittarius, which brought to light a lot of situations where the truth hadn't perhaps been told the way it should have been, or where people changed their minds, Gemini, about how they were going to proceed. So there's a lot of energy this week about changing your mind, a lot of energy this week about how to see things in a different way and look at them in a different way so that you don't necessarily see it quite the same way that you used to. And also, better way to say it, is that the universe is going to ask you to stretch your understanding of what's possible. Now, I'm going to put some clips in my column this week that if you are not a regular reader, I encourage you to go and watch, because they're going to talk a lot about the energy of seeing things in a slightly different way, how we describe things to ourselves, how we describe things to other people, and how we kind of can look at the world in a slightly different way if we allow ourselves that option. And similar to turning the lights off in your house and walking through the dark to find another room, you know, and that cautiousness, we're going to have the lights turned out. We're going to have our emotional lights turned out this week. as the moon goes dark. That happens on Saturday. Well, Friday night, you know, midnight. So stay up Friday night and go outside at midnight Saturday morning, you know, and look at the lunar eclipse, because you should be able to see it anywhere in the United States that it's dark. Moon will be dark on May 25th. And then on the 20th, on Monday, we have the Uranus-Pluto square. So those two events take place this week. We also have the sun going into Gemini. Gemini always makes it a little more easy to make decisions in the sense that he sees other options other than Taurus. Sun in Taurus is pretty fixed in its vision of what it wants and how it wants it to be. And when the sun goes into Gemini, Gemini goes, well, it could be this way or that way. It could do this or that. And if you ever were a fan of The Wizard of Oz and you watched the Scarecrow, whenever Dorothy would ask him a question, he would give her a couple of answers. So Mercury, when sun goes into Gemini, our ego starts seeing that there are a couple of options rather than the option that we feel that we're stuck with. So that's important to happen or to watch shift. And that will take place this week. The other thing, which is why I kind of kept going, wow, is there's a condition called out of bounds. Now, what an out of bounds planet does is normally the planets follow the sun, which means they follow the rules. Because the sun is the master of the heavens, you know, he's the big guy out there, and all the planets essentially follow his path as he travels around the earth, which is good. That's a great thing. When every now and then, though, they go, I don't want to follow your path. You can't tell me what to do. I'm going to go off-road. I'm going to take my little all-terrain vehicle, and I'm just going to go over that hill over there. I'm not staying on the paved road with you, sun, and the rest of the planets. So that's okay when that happens. Now, at the beginning of the week, when Uranus-Pluto square takes place on Monday, we have three planets out of bounds. We have Mercury out of bounds. Of course, Mercury rules the sun, and he rules Venus, and he rules himself, and he rules Jupiter, and he rules Virgo, if you have anything in Virgo, which you may not, but they're right now the moon's in Virgo. But it'll be, if you have Virgo planets, when Mercury goes out of bounds, your Virgo planets don't want to follow the rules either. Okay, so all the Gemini planets and the Virgo planets don't want to follow the rules now because Mercury's out of bounds. And Mercury goes out of bounds, and he is active because he rules a big chunk of the heavens right now, okay? And what that means is he goes past the path of the sun, and similar to an out-of-bounds ball in baseball, it could be a home run. It could be the ball gets hit over the fence, and it's a home run, and everybody's really happy, and you run around the bases, and you don't have to go fast, and everybody cheers, and the organist in Yankee Stadium goes do-do-do-do-do, whatever the song is that they play. On a bad day, when a ball goes out of bounds, it goes into the stands and it hits somebody at the head at 100 miles an hour. So that's the range that can happen this week. The ball can be a home run, or it can hit you on the head 100 miles an hour like a baseball. Or it's Gemini. It can be both. You can get hit on the head with a baseball and get a home run. Okay? So right before he hits the home run, he hits a foul ball and he takes out a couple players in the stands. We don't really know, but we do know when Mercury goes out of bounds, he doesn't follow the rules. He's not interested in following the rules. He doesn't even think the rules should apply to him. All right. Of course, when that happens, sometimes you get mad, right? Because you're being told you have to follow the rules and you don't want to. So I have a friend who shall remain nameless, but she's a very lovely woman, and I do enjoy her a great deal. And we were talking about, you know, situations and, you know, our astrological mythologies and the archetypal myths. And so she said, well, when she was four, you know, it was her birthday, and she was playing miniature golf with some friends, and she was cheating because she really wanted to win. Now, remember, Gemini does cheat sometimes, okay, because Mercury, first thing he did was he stole his brother's cows. So she was playing miniature golf, and she really wanted to win, and she was cheating. And some little playmate of hers at the birthday party said to her, you're cheating, you can't cheat, and picked up her ball, or stepped on her ball, I guess it was. And so she took her club, and she whacked that little girl's leg in the ankle. whacked her in the ankle, broke the kid's ankle. Now, mind you, she's 4 years old. Got into a lot of trouble for that. But she really wanted to win. And she was cheating, and she was caught. All right? That's Mercury out of bounds. And, you know, yes, this person has some out-of-bounds planets. But it, understand, it wants to push the story a little past the limit. Doesn't really want to follow the rules. Not really interested in following the rules. So, good or bad, not interested in following the rules. The other planets that are out of bounds on the Uranus-Pluto square are Vesta, which is home and hearth, lots of changes around the home, and Ceres, lots of changes around how you think you should nurture people or you should take care of people or how you nurture yourself. Lots of interesting information around that coming in. Now, remember, eclipses turn the lights off and on, so that's a big deal. Happens once every, 19 years at this degree. It also closes up the story from 2011 that opened on November 25th. There was an opening story then. This closes it up now. And it also, if you take it back to 1995, there was a story then. And if you want, you can even go back a little further to 76. There was a story then. And this finishes those stories up and transforms them into something else. So that's one part, the eclipse. Then the Uranus-Pluto thing, that only happens every 50, 60 years. You're never going to have this ever again. And so the Uranus-Pluto square has these out-of-bound planets in it. The chart for the Uranus-Pluto square for May 20th, 2013, at 7:02 at night, actually has a rising sign of 15 degrees Scorpio. So 15 Scorpio is the world axis. These planets are on the world axis. This eclipse is going to be worldwide known. Saturn is at 6 in the 12th house. Those out-of-bounds planets are over in the 7th house. If you are a fan of the Scorpio Rising United States chart, this one matches it. I happen to like the Sag Rising, but I know I have Scorpio Rising people out there. But there's a stellium of planets over in the 7th, all of whom are answering, many of whom are answering to that out-of-bounds Mercury. Now, Mercury, of course, Venus is in Gemini, so she answers to Mercury out of bounds. Venus rules Mars and Taurus. Mars and Taurus rules the Saturn and Scorpio, the North Node, the South Node, the Ascendant, and Saturn, of course, rules Pluto. So this is an out-of-bounds square. Past normal, not following the rules, very badly behaved, or a home run. Generally, when it's an eclipse, it goes to the lower form, but it could go higher. You know, you could have this huge revelation that totally, completely alters your life, and I'm hoping for that for you. But for the rest of the world, you might find people really kind of losing it, and that's exactly what we're supposed to do. The Uranus and Pluto wants us to break down our psychological, impervious, built-in structures, and it wants us to psychologically transform them. You've been digging away at this. You've been pushing away at this. The heavens have been pushing away at you on this for months now. This is the moment of transformation. If you didn't transform on those first two eclipses, this be it this week. Because that Uranus-Pluto square, coupled with, there's a little angry aspect with Mars in there, which we'll talk about, I don't even know when I'll, I'm not going to get to it today, but there's an angry Mars aspect in there too that's going to make people really dig in. And Mars is at the degree of the eclipse from last November. So this harkens back to Sandy the Storm, harkens back to the Newton shootings, harkens back to whatever's going on with you last November too. Because Mars is at the degree triggering the eclipse from last fall at the same time this Uranus-Pluto square takes off. So that's big. That's Monday. Then as we go through the week, bumpity-bumpity-bump, we then have Venus join out of bounds. Okay. So by the time we get to the lunar eclipse on Saturday night, Venus is past normal too. She's out of bounds. She's not following the rules either. Now Venus, of course, rules most of the sky. Because Mars is still in Taurus, answering to Venus. Now, she's out of bounds, and Mercury are out of bounds. So it's kind of like a wild party in the heavens, and you're invited. But, you know, just make sure you don't drink anything you didn't bring in with you, and you didn't leave unattended, okay? Because this is like a wild party where they can slip things into your drink and make you go wild and crazy. We also have this week things in the heavens that are very interesting energies. We have a couple grand trines, which is always lovely. We have T-squares, which are highly activating energies that want us to take action. We also have a couple of Thor's hammers. And Thor's hammers are places where we are recalcitrant and the hammer of the heavens bang, bang, bangs away on us until we transform and shift. We have kites. What kites do is they guide us the direction we're supposed to be headed in. And we have mystic rectangles. And what they do is they often give us an understanding that sometimes we don't really know what's going on. It's a mystery. But on our path, the mysticism continues. The mystic piece continues. The Uranus-Pluto aspect on Monday has all those things I just described, as well as a finger of God, which is a fast little finger, but it's still up there. And so when we have this much configuration in the heavens, too, these are very dynamic aspects that ask us to really shapeshift, to really change. And our job in this is to be as flexible as possible, to be as responsive in the sense of, oh, what's the invitation? And to not react to it in the sense of, oh, my God, I have to do this or else, but to simply observe what comes up for us, observe how it makes us feel, and to just kind of stay present and to watch. Because what the universe is trying to do is a big shift in your consciousness, in your mind, in helping you understand what you need to do. Now, once these eclipses are finished and this Uranus-Pluto square starts to separate a little bit, over the summer, we go into this whole new place. Jupiter's going to go into its exaltation. Right now, it's in its sign that it hates. Okay? So Jupiter in Gemini is always about having to do things twice, and always there's a part one and a part two, a plan A, a plan B, maybe even a plan C. There is not a clear and apparent path, but there is choices, neither of which may not appeal to us, neither of which may appeal to us, or they both may. We may want both of them, and we feel we have to pick between. Your job is to understand that this story that we're working with here is very much about how do we get to the place we want to go. It's not that there's no right path. It's that there's no clear path right now. Because when the sun enters Gemini, one of the other things he's going to do is he's going to square Neptune. So it's a little foggy and it's a little unclear. And in the same way, if you turn your lights off and you wander around your house in the dark, you know, and I be careful, you know, watch out for those coffee table legs. You're wandering a little in the dark this week, but the lights will come back on and you're in the emotional dark, okay? The emotional dark. So it's not about reacting. It's about understanding that everything that's happening is on some level a mirror for our soul, a mirror for us to look in, a mirror for us to understand and to look at it and say, okay, in relationship to that, what would I like to be? Mercury always poses the questions, and then we have to come up with the answers. Now, he's in Gemini and he's out of bounds. So he's going to be asking some questions that are maybe past what you want to answer or maybe questions you never thought of before because they're past normal. They're past the restrictions that normally come with them. It also is a big week for blurting, okay, which is why I caution you to be quiet and listen to the extent that you can. And I will tell you it'll be a little hard because, you know, everybody's going to be very hyped and that Mars is on a really hot degree and he's mad, okay? So there's going to be a lot of provocative behavior in the world this week. But the idea is with Mercury out of bounds and Venus out of bounds, they say things that they should not be saying. And so this is when you find out, what do you mean I had a dead sister? You know, I didn't know there was a dead sister ahead of me. Or, I mean, that actually happened to a client. They found out that they had a dead brother they never knew about, but they were born after the brother came. So they said to their sisters and brother, you know, did you know about this? And they were like, yeah, you didn't know about that? And they were like, no, you weren't born yet. Of course you didn't know about the dead boy. And, you know, it's a reveal. It's a seeing things. It's an understanding of things that you didn't know happened. And that's okay. You're supposed to be shocked. You're supposed to kind of have a little, because Uranus is shocking, and he's squaring Pluto, the powers that be, and he's saying, you know, that square there, that's a structural shock, and Uranus is winning. So shocking wins this week. And it has a moment of clarity because you go, wow, I never thought of that. Now, the moon this week goes into Libra, Scorpio, Sag, and Capricorn. All right, and so those are our relationship with the outside world. Libra is how we partner with people. Scorpio is how we merge with people. Sagittarius is how we teach people or we learn things. And Capricorn is how we work. So there's a lot of energy around those energies of relationship, again, because there is a lot of relationship energy, and these planets are kind of scattered all over the chart. So there isn't really a single focus. There's multi-focuses. So that's the other piece is, you know, it's kind of like if you've ever been to the three-ring circus at like Barnum and Bailey has at Madison Square Garden. I always find it really frustrating because there's stuff going on all over the place and it's hard to pay attention to. That's kind of this week energy, too. Sun enters Gemini on the 20th, and then it has a square to Neptune on the 26th. So there is a veil over what you're supposed to be seeing. Understand with the square to Neptune, you may not see it clearly. That's totally cool. It's part of what's supposed to happen. A lot of times when the Neptunes are active, I say to people, especially if they're here for reading and they're having a transit, I'll say, well, the universe isn't letting you see it, because if it showed it to you, you would get nervous. So it has a blindfold on you. The blindfold lifts on the 26th, okay? And you're going to see it in a way you had never seen it before. Mercury has a pile of aspects this week, not as many as the last 2 weeks, but he's still pretty busy. He runs from 9 Gemini to 22 Gemini, and he stimulates, you know, Pluto and Uranus, and he stimulates Chiron, and he has a, you know, choice with the nodes. He meets up with Venus. He argues with Saturn. He's out of bounds. He's just causing a wild time up there. And he's in one of his favorite signs, the sign of the trickster. Gemini is the trickster, and it is, you know, on a bad day, the con artist. On a good day, it's highly fluent and directly communicative and very quick with the tongue, okay? So the positive parts of that are there. But, you know, Gemini also isn't always telling the truth. Venus goes from 13 Gemini to 21 Gemini, so she's moving pretty good. She's going about a degree a day, so she's going fast also. And I know I'm talking fast. I do apologize. Hard to fit it all in and half an hour. She has aspects to the nodes as well as aspects to Chiron and Saturn, so she's going to be working a lot with reframing how she sees herself. And I do want you to take a focus on that. One of the clips on the website this week, and the website is astroanne.com, for those of you who just listen and don't read. There's a web, and you may have seen it already, which if you have, it's good. It's an interesting video clip that one of my students, Jody Lang, emailed me from overseas, and it was the Dove commercial where there is an audio, there's a forensic drawer, and he has people come in and describe themselves, and he draws them. He's not looking at them. He's just drawing them based on their description. And then he has other people who have interacted with them come in, and he draws them draws the person again based on the other person's description. And then he puts the two pictures side by side. And he invites the person in to see their version of themselves versus other people's versions of themselves. And it's a very interesting experience to kind of watch because you're kind of like, wow, they both describe themselves, but the vision that they have is very different. A lot of shape-shifting this week in your vision. And Venus in Gemini, out of bounds, is going to ask you to shape-shift your understanding of desire and love. Mars this week goes from 22 cap up to Algol, okay? And he has a really nasty aspect with Algol, with Pluto, and Uranus. I hate to see Mars, Uranus, and Pluto in Algol, and I'm not going to spend any much time on it except to say that's an ouch, you know? And it's on the day of the eclipse, so we'll see what that lays out. But generally, that's a crappy aspect, no pun intended. And then Uranus squares Pluto. We talked about Uranus also has aspects to Pallas and Vesta, asking you to re-see the patterns and restructure how you do things. The other planets are pretty quiet and calm. But there's a lot this week, inspiring each of us to evolve, okay? And remember, you did agree to incarnate into this time and space. You're here for a reason. And if you've been wondering what your next job is, what your next purpose is, you should find out this week, because this is a very powerful week for having each of us have our own personal awakening, wherever Uranus and Pluto are in your chart, and wherever 5 degrees of Gemini Sag is in your chart. So it's profound time, okay? And be very gentle with yourself. Be very kind. Remember, you know the gift of astrology. Not everybody you're talking to is. And you might say to them, there's a Uranus-Pluto square once every 60-year aspect happening this week. And an eclipse, turning the lights off, making you turning the lights off, moving the furniture, and telling you to walk through the living room. That's what's happening. So go wow, go slow, teeny tiny steps, and pay attention. Be kind to your fellow citizens on Earth. Tough week. But we're through it on the back end at the end of this week. So that's the good news. This week we just have to get through. So that's all. Take care. Have a great week, folks. I will check in with you next week on wishing you all a merry, merry eclipse and Uranus-Pluto square. Take care. Bye.